Thanks again for everyone to stay to the very end of the day. My name is Yan Huang. I'm going to begin with my talk with a maybe silly example. Imagine there are two friends sitting in an open bar, and they are boring, so they take out their phones onto a computer, something about their ancestry. Is their common ancestor living in the last 100 years, or 300 years, or 3,000 years? Or if they're dating each other, they might want to compute if they happen to get married, how about the offspring? Is their offspring going to be healthy, have good immune systems? There are ways to do that. They have genomes on their phones. They could have an easy way would be they find a trusted third party and surrender their private inputs to the third party. However, this is an open bar. There's no strongly trusted third party there. However, they're not so drunk that they just reveal their genome to each other up front. So how are they going to do this? One way to do this is using a Gabor circuit. That's a general technique that you can compute any Turing complete functions using the Gabor circuits. I know that Gabor circuits has historically been known to be very slow and inscalable. However, if you are a security engineering sitting here, there, please don't leave earlier, because I'm going to talk about how this technique can be realized in a scalable and fast enough way. We propose an approach to use this technique and apply this approach to demonstrate the efficiency in a few applications. For example, some biometric identifications and the genomic computations and private encryption. These two graphs gives the result in an application-independent way. In terms of scalability, we show that we do billions of as we can compute circuits with billions of non-free gates, as compared to previous work based on fair play compiler-based approach. In terms of performance, we estimate that the non-free gates per gate can be as fast as 10 microseconds per second. And this is a lot faster than previous work. For those of you who don't learn about the secure function evaluation before, here's the Gabor circuit 101. In the Gabor circuit protocol, the basic idea is to set up a circuit generator and a circuit evaluator. Both of them have their private inputs. Then the circuit generator will generate a circuit in an oblivious way, such that when they transmit this circuit to the evaluator can evaluate the thing without knowing the generator's private inputs. Next few slides will tell you, will give an introduction of how we compute a binary AND using Gabor circuits. Here's a binary AND. This is the binary AND truth table. So to do this in a secure way means we don't want the two parties to know what their inputs are. So we replace the semantic values of the zeros and the ones with data-independent nonces. The mappings of the signal to the nonces are kept secret, only known by the generator. Then we will replace the rightmost column of the outcomes with the four encryptions. The message of the encryption is the nonsense that represent the expected outcome of the gate. And the key of the encryption is the nonsense of the input wires that representing the corresponding 0 and 1s. Then the generator will permute this table and transmit this table to the evaluator. We call this table a garbled truth table instead of truth table. What's better, this technique can works for any circuits. You can chain the any binary gates together in an arbitrary way to compute an arbitrary function. This is what we call Yau circuits. It has been known for about 25 years. However, in the first 20 years, maybe not too much application has been developed and deployed. Why? Because it involves a lot of cryptographic expert knowledge to do that. We will get to how to solve that issue later. Before we doing that, I want to mention that we are talking about in the semi-honest model, where the adversary are expected to follow the protocol. They are not going to deviate the protocol to do something malicious. This is a weak model, weak assumption. However, this is a strong assumption. Sorry. However, this is, would be a first step towards a more strong protocol. For example, the malicious adversary resistant protocol, which we are currently working on. And there are some good scenarios that this semi-honest model protocol can be readily applicable. Okay, let's get back to how to solve the development issue. A few years ago, there's a famous system, Fair Play, that solved the problem. Fair Play consists of proposed two programming languages. One is called SFDL, which is a high-level programming language that allows you to specify the computation in a high-level way. And SHDL, which describes the circuits. SFDL also provides a compiler and a tool interpreter. The compiler will be able to compile your SFDL to a circuit, which is interpreted by a generator interpreter and an evaluator interpreter to execute the protocol. As you can see, there will be a lot of garbled tables generated and transmitted between the generator and the evaluator. Fair Play is a very successful system. Many people are developing applications using Fair Play, and many researchers also extend Fair Play to with many newly discovered techniques. Everything seems very attractive here until researchers found that it's very inscalable and it's very slow when they develop new privacy-preserving applications. For example, there are still researchers finding that this garbled circuit is very slow and concludes that it's not suitable for many practical applications. So we go back to re-examine the problems. And the first problem we found is that the Fair Play forcefully divided the process into three separate phases: the circuit generation, circuit transmission, and a circuit evaluation, which is not very well with the any practical scenario. If you want to do anything, you don't want to forcefully divide into three stages in favor of timing or something like that. Even worse, effects, side effects of this thing is that you have to store all the garbage tables locally, both on the generator side and the evaluator side. The garbage tables for any intermediate size problems can grow to gigabytes or tens of gigabytes of things, which takes a lot of memory and hard disk to store them. So to fix this problem, we propose a pipelining approach. To use pipelining, the generator and the evaluator will begin from the same circuit structure. And they will evaluate the circuit using a topological order of the circuits. So the generator will generate the garbage table for the first binary end or any or binary gates, then transmit this table to the evaluator. The evaluator, as soon as they get this single table, he can start working on decrypting it without waiting for the generator to generate the whole circuit. Then this table is useless. It's not useful anymore, so it is discarded, never saved. So this process will keep going on. And you can see none of the tables needs to be stored. Note that we are not sacrificing any security guarantee, because we started from the circuit structure, which is public information, and the order to evaluate the circuit is also public information. And the intermediate result, which now gets to be known by the evaluator earlier, are just independent announcers. They are not. The evaluator doesn't know the mappings, how it can map to the semantic value. So the security is not sacrificed at all. The immediate result of this thing is that we don't require a lot of memory anymore. And the time efficiency is dramatically improved, also because the improved program locality and the better use of memory. We found also other problems with the current compiler-based approach. One of them is that it consumes too much resource to just compile the SFDL program into circuits. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of memory. Also, there are many opportunities to optimize the circuits in the circuit level or in the program level. However, this is not done by the current compiler-based approach. The resulted inefficiency shouldn't be attributed to the garbage circuits in general. So we were trying to fix these problems and show that the garbage circuit itself is sound. Next few slides, I will show some circuit level optimizations. The first one is the number of bits to use in a circuit execution. For example, this is a CQ counter. We call this CQ because the counter C here is a sensitive information, has to be represented by nonces. And how many bits do we need to represent C? It depends on. It depends on the largest possible value C could be. If we are using SFDL, the programmer are forced to give a large enough value, to allocate large enough memory to store C. However, that's not necessary. You can save more bits at the beginning of the computation because C is small, and you can increment C slowly later when it gets bigger. We applied this technique, and it saves a linear number of non-free gates for us. Next, we will show how some of the circuit optimization works to reduce the number of non-free gates we have to use to compute a functionality. This program is the double loop exacted from the at a distance program. The core two lines can be translated a circuit design literally here. It's a very naive and straightforward translation. You just doing a lot some additions and compute the minimum. However, you can maybe you already noticed that we are doing two additions, and after that, right after that, we are doing a minimum. It would be more prudent if we swap the upper left to add additions with the subsequent minimum, because we can minimum the di minus one j di j minus one first and add one. That's the same thing. So we can save one add one bit circuit, which is L bit, and L is the width of the to represent the dij. Then we, if you are careful, you already also notice that there's the same situation happens again with the lower parts of the circuits. There's two add one additions followed by a min, which we can also do the same trick and come up with even efficient circuits. So these circuits compute the same functionality as the before. However, it uses much fewer gates. It saves about 28% of the gates. A third technique we proposed is that use the library to construct the circuits. We have a library of doing basic operations like addition, comparison, and XOR, and they are designed in using as few non-free gates as possible. So when you're constructing larger circuits, if you're using this library, hopefully you are getting a circuit is still efficient enough. You can write the circuits in a very modular way. It saves a lot of programs time. Combining all the improvements, we have these timings shown in the table. The timings are aligned to the same security levels, and we are tested in the semi-honest model as before. More graphical presentation of the same data is shown in these slides. We see we saved orders of magnitude of time. And you might notice that we save a lot more comparing to sci-fi. That's because sci-fi push a lot of computation to the offline phase. However, that part of computation is not amortized over iterations of the program. So when we are computing the overall time, then it doesn't count. So far so good. But you might have the question that we might put too much burden on the programmers to come up with very clever circuits and knowing too much about what they are doing. To alleviate this concern, I would like to say we don't require expert knowledge about the cryptography, but we do require the programmer are good at Boolean circuit design. They don't need to learn a new languages, but they do have to know Java, for example, because the circuit design will be directly translated into Java code. To demonstrate how the process of developing new privacy-preserving applications, we will show this process in this animation. We will start from a traditional Java program doing some computation. Then the program is required, so far, the program is required to identify which part of the computation is dealing with the private data. We call this critical components. And the rest of the program can be just can be left alone. Then for the critical components, we will draw a circuit for each of them. Some of the circuits might already be included in our library. However, some of other of them, you might need to customize it using the library. Then you will translate your circuit into Java code. And you will compile this Java code with the original Java program that doesn't dealing with any sensitive data. You combine this with the Java C program and compile it to a generator and an evaluator. Then we can run this to protect the generator and the evaluator's respective private data. This approach also facilitates us to reuse many application-specific integrated circuit designs previous results. For example, by using this very efficient AES S-box design, we reduced the number of non-free gates by 30% comparing to the HO-equipped and NASA-ES CCS work. This is the timings of the AES, and we saved still an order of magnitude of time. The savings is not as much as before, because this is just running one cycle of the AES. Less computation. In conclusion, we thought the privacy-preserving applications using Gabor circuits can be much efficient than we thought to be. And the pipelining and the combined with circuit level optimizations do reduce the cost dramatically. We released our framework and some Android apps on our website, and you are welcome to download it and try it. And I'm ready to take any questions.
So this is great. I love this. It's
thanks.
It's nice to see this trend of people realizing that these complicated cryptographic things can in fact be efficiently implemented. So you've done this for basically taking fair play and make it faster, the secure two-party computation. What can you say? So there's fair play MP, which is the multi-party computation. What can you say about multi-party versions of your work?
I would like to say if you're going to do a multi-party computation still using Gabor circuits, do remember including pipelining technique. At least consider pipelining technique, but there's many more subtle technical issues you need to consider for the multi-party settings. For the semi-honest model, it might be easier, but if you want to convert it to a malicious model, there are much more subtle things. However, I think the major cost is due to the Gabor circuit execution, which some of the techniques here still applies to that scenario.
Thank you.
I'll ask one last question. So how big is the gap still between where you've gotten this to and real world applications?
In my opinion, still 1,000 to 10,000 times of slower than native run. Mm-hmm. But for some security critical applications, it may pay it may pays if you do this.
All right, well, let's thank the speaker again. And once again, thank you all for coming and sticking around for the last session.